just so glad to introduce to you Brother Nathan Scoggins. If you've never heard him, you're going to go away saying he can hear from God. Pastor of Cornerstone United Pentecostal Church, Lufkin, Texas. Let's welcome him and the presence of God that is here. Let's give God the glory with a hand praise. Come on, brothers. Oh, let's clap our hands unto the Lord and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Oh, come on, let's really praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I like what I'm feeling in the house of the Lord tonight. And I have walked into a charged atmosphere. I apologize for not being here sooner. But I'm glad I'm here now. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord tonight and feel His mighty power. I don't know if you know it or not, but we are on a collision course with apostolic, red hot, aisle running, hell shaking revival. And the world hasn't seen anything yet. It's an honor to be here at Salt Conference. And what an indeed an honor it is to be with Pastor Kraft and Brother Clark and the entire Salt Committee. We thank you so much for allowing us the privilege of being here tonight. I want to get quickly into the Word of God. How many wants to hear some preaching tonight? How many is going to preach with the preacher tonight? The book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 13. We give honor to all of the ministers that are here tonight and their wives. So good to see each and every one of you. So glad to have Brother Jared Pugh, our youth pastor, traveling with us tonight. Appreciate him coming so much. Book of Exodus, chapter 13, and beginning with verse 18. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed. Everybody say harnessed. Out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry out my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. Everybody say the way. And by night in a pillar of fire. Everybody say a pillar of fire. To give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. I want to simply preach from this subject tonight. Don't bury the bones and the fire will continue to fall. We have some precious memories that are intact tonight that the devil would love to take away and destroy. But I'm feeling destiny like I have never felt it before. We are not just a church. We are the church of the living God. And God wants to move in this hour like He has never moved before. I'm going to ask Brother Kraft if he would to pray over this conference tonight.
Father, we thank you for Brother Scoggins and what he means to the work of God. Pray that you would anoint his lips, touch his heart, soul, mind, body, strength. Touch our hearts, let us understand what thus saith the Word of God, and give us willing, submissive hearts to obey it. Bless now the word of the Lord, and everybody said in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Kraft, and you may be seated. On January 1st, 1901, Agnes Osman in Topeka, Kansas, followed the fire. And whether we believe it or not, that fire is still continuing to burn. It has burned brighter than it has ever burned before. And we are enjoying the fresh fire of God's holy outpouring. But the only way that we are going to continue to experience red hot, apostolic revival is to go into our future with a precious memory, never forgetting that sacrifice of the pioneers that have preceded us. We have a debt that we cannot pay tonight. I don't know about you, but we are in vineyards that we did not plant. We walk in houses that we did not build. If it had not been for a precious heritage, praying people and praying preachers, we wouldn't be in this place tonight. We wouldn't be in this beautiful edifice. But we are a part of a holy, holy heritage. It's a heritage that is worth standing for. And it's a heritage worth fighting for. I don't know about you, but I'm not a part of a charismatic group. I'm a part of an apostolic group. This apostolic church was born in red hot fire. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now the Hebrew word harnessed meant armed men arrayed for battle in fives. Everybody say fives. When our elders got a hold of this powerful deliverance message, they were armed with purpose and perseverance. But they had a love for the truth, and they were armed with a powerful five-fold ministry. We're not here by accident tonight. We're here because of preaching pioneers who have loved this truth, fought for this truth, preached the truth, and lived the truth. They were armed with sacrifice. They were armed with the burden for the lost. They were armed with the spirit of unity. They were armed with travailing, prevailing prayer, and the fire fell. And when Moses got ready to take the children of Israel into a greater land of promise, into a deliverance that they had never seen before as a nation, Joseph said, wait a minute, let me tell you something while I yet live. When you get ready to get out of here, and God is going to get you out of here, he said, don't leave my bones in Egypt. But when you get out, you carry my bones with you. They packed up bones, but it just wasn't bones. It was the memory of consecration, of separation, and dedication to Jehovah God. I'm telling you, we've got some bones that we can't leave behind. We better gather together every memory of every pioneer, every woman, every boy, every child that has ever stood for this truth. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't bury the bones. I want to tell you, if we bury the bones, apostolic church, we'll start handling strange fire. But when they come out of Egypt with a memory and connected to their past, fire fell. It's no coincidence that we are living right now expecting not thousands, but millions to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Had it not been for the elders, we couldn't have that kind of faith. It is the elder that has brought us to this place tonight. Now the devil say, bury them bones. Just let them rot in Egypt. Go ahead, young man. And have revival and forget about your past. I want to tell you, I don't want fire if I've got a disconnect from my heritage. I don't want that kind of fire. We're not like other countries of the world. We're not like Madagascar, who worship their ancestors. But we refuse to forget the memory of great men and women and children who have brought us to where we are today. Joseph had declared that while he yet lived, that God would visit his people. Now that time had come, and Moses would not leave Egypt without the bones of Joseph. He would carry the people of God into promise
and greater deliverance than they had ever seen. But not at the expense, Brother Clark, of disconnecting from his past. He's going to take bones with them. I'm telling you, I want to see greater miracles. I want to see empty wheelchairs. I want to see blind eyes open. But we can't do it without those elders and old timers that have stood. One young man, brain dead, got up at a camp meeting and he said, "I can't wait till our elders die where us young men can have it and fire. We can reach higher heights and greater depths and experience greater fire." That's not the kind of fire I want. I'm praying tonight that God will give our elders 10 more years. Don't die yet. I'm telling you, Pentecost, we got some bones to pick up. The sacrifice of Andrew Hershen and Ellis Sism, C.P. Kilgore, T.W. Barnes, Oliver Foss, and the list goes on. There's hundreds. We've got bones in our past that we cannot separate from. Men that have stood for truth. I wish somebody would just go back and pick up them bones and say, "Yes, I want end time revival, but I want holiness and I want heritage." I wonder if you are here tonight and you have preached the gospel for over 40 years, would you stand? One soldier, thank God. Wouldn't it have been terrible if we wouldn't have had one? There's another one. Would you help me, congregation, give honor to these men tonight? You better believe it. You may be seated. I've got to hurry. Our dear elders bought the truth and they would not sell it. They wouldn't compromise it. They wouldn't give in. They wouldn't cow down. They wouldn't back up. But they stood for truth. It was not a way to them. It was the way. I wish somebody would get convinced I'm in the way. It's not a way. It is the way tonight. Come on, if you start believing it's the way, you're going to see conversions like you never dreamed you could see. Come on, it's not a message I'm preaching. I'm preaching the message. You may be seated. Their love for the truth caused them to persevere when Pentecost wasn't popular. And some of us can't stand for a week. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can do without that. I don't know if I can keep from watching that and listening to that. Oh, let something get a hold of us tonight. Let something get way down deep. It's not because the preacher says no. It's because I've got a relationship with Him. And it came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and saw the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. And he said, "Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all things according to your word." When Elijah got ready, friend, listen, to call down fire from heaven, he attached himself to the lineage of the patriarchs. He didn't say, "I'm just a fired up young man with a call to preach." He said, "But I'm looking for the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Egypt, of Jacob." He was looking for the God of Israel. He wasn't going to disconnect himself from the lineage that had brought him there. I wish somebody would reconnect with what I'm preaching about tonight. He connected himself. And then he prayed a little prayer. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned the heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and of the stones and of the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I like his motivation. He said, I don't want them to know Elijah. I just want them to know you, God. And when his motivation was pure, fire fell. I want to tell you, end time revival by the hundreds and thousands. Hidden coming to people with impure motives. It's not so your ego can be stretched. It's so his kingdom can be built. It's not my kingdom, it's his kingdom. And when you get the proper motivation for prayer, fire falls. It was a common practice of the false prophets to bury live coals and form earth around it in a cone shape, cover it with grass, and go up with their ceremonial robes. And they'd start fanning those coals that were beneath the earth. Listen to me. They could work one up, but they couldn't pray one down. There's a whole lot of people that's not connected to the heritage, and they press around and they call it glossolalia, but they don't have no power. They can work a fire up. They can work emotions up. But dear beloved, we can pray it down tonight. It's not a little hyped up emotion. No, it's apostolic power. It's not a little charismatic two-step. When you stick your hands up and start praising God with everything in you, something begins to happen. You may be seated. Elijah's formula worked. And it's going to work now, Brother Watkins. He said, I know how to get fire. Remember them that brought you here. That's the first step. There's some, oh my, I don't want to walk where I don't need to walk. But there's some that come to Bible college and forget all about that man of God that brought you to where you're at. I'm feeling it in the Holy Ghost right now. Some of you come to Bible college, but that man of God who prayed you out and prayed you in doesn't mean what he used to. You need to get on the phone tonight and tell that man of God, I owe you a debt I can never pay. You need to go home and embrace him and let him know how much you appreciate the sacrifice that it took to get you in church. And then you've got to have a clear motive. And then something's got to die on an altar. And then you fill the water in a trench. And you ask in faith. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? For our elders, through their lives of selfless sacrifice, could call down mighty infernos of God's almighty power. Selfless lives. Emptying out and giving everything that they had. Their death was on altars of prayer. Their trenches were horse troughs, lakes, ponds, rivers, anything they could find. The locations differed, but there was one common ground. Everybody they got their hands on, when they got to that trench, that lake, that river, and that water, they baptized every one of them in the very same name. And that name was Jesus Christ. When God responded, there appeared unto their converts cloven tongues like as a fire, and it fell on them. And they love this truth, and they have brought us to where we are today. We're not the only ones following the fire. There's a whole lot of interest about Pentecost. There's a whole lot of people asking a whole lot of questions. Life magazine has been following some fire. And they wrote an article recently, and they asked the question about what is the most influential events in the past millennium. What was it? The number one most influential thing was the Bible. Number 68 was Pentecostalism. That magazine said that there's over 500 million people across the world that claim some type of Pentecostal experience. But I've got news for you, conference. I didn't plan to preach all night, but the fire has not stopped falling. It's about to fall like we have never seen it fall before. There's an avalanche of apostolic anointing. There is mantles of anointing that God is about to distribute. No, I didn't say replace the elders, because their memory will never be replaced. You can't replace their sacrifice. But God is looking for men and women who will step up right now and say, God, I'm going to greater deliverance and I'm going to greater miracles, but not at the expense of burying the bones of my past. I'm going to uncover them. And as I go to take new territory, to see blind eyes open and deaf ears unstopped, you don't have to worry about me going charismatic. I'm going to stay true to the heritage and the doctrine that God has given me. I wonder if there's anybody hungry for red hot apostolic anointing. I wonder if there's anybody thirsty. You may be seated just a minute. There's 15 reasons why they say the Pentecostal church is experiencing success. They said there's a world that is conditioned to expect the supernatural, number one. Number two, Christians previously prepared to expect manifestations of the Spirit. Number three, emphasis upon experience and not just doctrine or church. This is what they say. Number four, Pentecostal self-image as a revitalization movement within the Christian church. Number five, early thrust toward nominal Christians and lethargic believers and not just the unconverted. Number six, an appeal to common people. Number seven, taking initiative in going to people rather than waiting on them to come to them. Number eight, the use of mass meetings to create a sense of belonging to a community. Number nine, the effective use of newspapers, periodicals to spread this Pentecostal message. Number 10, democratic tendency with no discrimination. Number 11, emphasis upon divine healing. Number 12, meeting people's needs. Number 13, convictions of early adherence that God had raised them up for a special work. Number 14, a tremendous spirit of sacrifice. And number 15, the principle of establishing indigenous churches. And they said that is the reason that Pentecostalism has grown. I'll tell you another reason why it's grown. There were men and women that were filled with the mighty Spirit of God, and they were filled with a call that nothing would come against. They stood in the presence of every bit of adversity. They stood when it was not common and it was not cool, and they have brought us to where we are today. And there ought to be an allegiance. There ought to be something inside of us, a gratitude for where we have come from and what has brought us to where we are today. I'm telling you, I feel a fighting spirit as we enter into this new millennium, not to fight one another, but to fight for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. A heritage. Stand to your feet just for a moment. But eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, the things that God even now is telling me in the Spirit that He has in store for us. This is an apostolic church that is now dreaming that in the year 2001, in one day, not just 1 million in the Philippines, but 1 million all the way around the world, Thank God for Gordon Mallory and dreamers that God has raised up among us to believe that dreams can really become realities. But I'm telling you, we haven't seen nothing. There can be a million in a day, but not only a million in a day. We can see millions in this next year like we have never seen before. Do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? Every head bowed, every eye closed. God is ready now to confirm His word with signs following. There are young men now on the evangelistic field that it's common to have 100 soul revivals. And the only reason why it's a possibility is because there was an elder in your past. There was a heritage. If it had not been for an old grandfather who was not a preacher, when I went, he came to my house dying with cancer. And I told him, I said, "Paul, I'm free. God has called me to preach." Look up just a moment. Big old tears started streaming down his face. He was so weak he had to get a lawn chair and sat down in that lawn chair, and his hands began to tremble. He said, "Baby, I'm so proud that God wants to use you." He said, "Papa's dying of cancer." He said, "I only have one thing to tell you. Don't be a playboy. Be a preacher." And then tears begin to drip, Brother Kraft, on that old lawn chair. And he said, "Son, it's taken sacrifice. Pain. Men have been hated. Run out of towns. Forced fast." He said, "Honey, would you please never forget what it has taken to get you where God wants you to go?" He said, "Because the day you forget is the day you'll die." And he said, "Let Paul pray." And big old hands covered my entire forehead. And we came here. Anoint him, Jesus. Anoint him, Jesus. Anoint him. You have another preacher, and I must get out of the way. But while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, don't bury the bones. And the fire will continue to fall.
Let's lift our hands and let's pray. Let's pray. Almighty God, in the name of the Lord, let's pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands and let's pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there is a holy hush that has covered this place. It's been this way from the very beginning. The Shekinah of God is overshadowing this place. Everybody, lift your hands and let's talk to God. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus, I'm taking the bones with me. Too many memories, too many memories.